Page 15, the evening chanting. The English version, Achaloan, you can remember? Ah, good. Okay, you use the mic, I use my mic. Yeah?
14.
Page 14, sorry, yes. Yeah. So, let us develop the Sada, Virya, and Sati by commencing with our evening chanting. We will chant the English translation, yeah, so that you all can understand better. This one is the format from Achancha tradition. Yeah. I think we receive it from Achanachalo. Okay, so now we will start. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. Okay, for those who don't know, we are at page 14 of the chanting book, the retreat chanting book, the thick copy, the thick copy. The one with the ring one. Still available up there. Yeah. So, page 14. Okay, we'll continue from there. Page 14, evening chanting. Okay. We will continue with the next one. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one, Bao. The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One, homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha, a good word of the Blessed One's disciple has spread as follows. Or reputation, sorry, yeah. We read again, chant again. The good word of the Blessed One's reputation has spread as follows. Such is indeed the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the perfectly enlightened ones. Now with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished one, the knower of the world, the incomparable master or guide of those to be trained, teacher of gods and men, the enlightened ones, the blessed ones. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha. The Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellence quality, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conqueror, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him without the head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and guide. The Buddha is sorrow destroyer, who bestows blessing on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate his body and mind, and in devotion, I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the master's way. Guide my devotion to the Buddha and the blessing of this practice. By his power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may I's nourishment of all be accepted, that in future there may be restraint towards the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and now, beyond timeless, beyond thought, in writing investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nibbana, and be understood by the wise, teachable himself. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma. It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and future, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I reverence the excellent teaching
that which removes darkness.
The Dhamma, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings,
as the second object of recollection, I venerate it
without the head. I am indeed the Dhamma servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and guide. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer,
and it will sow blessing on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in master's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma, and the blessing of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome.
By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of all be accepted, that in future there may be restraint in the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha.
All good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One.
of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of beautiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One disciple may name the four kinds of persons, the eight types of individuals,
is worthy of offering,
is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gifts, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incorrigible
view of marriage to the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha, born of the Dhamma, the Sangha which has practiced love, the feel of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind, by excellent morality and virtue. I revere that assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity.
The Sangha,
which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the third collection of the collection, I venerate in the him. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and Guide. The Sangha is sorrow's destroyer, and he bestows blessing on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate his body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the level practice way of the Sangha. For me, there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I go in the master way.
By my devotion
to the Sangha and the blessing of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, or whatever action that committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of God be accepted, that in future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha. Then we will do the closing puja. I think this one we will chant the Pali. Yeah? Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavān buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivandē. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supavipanno bhagavato sangha sangho sangho namami. Okay, you all can be seated. So you look at the program, we managed to save back the 15 minutes, which is very good. So now exactly 7:50. So we will have 30 minutes of formal sedation. I mean, this is to develop your inner awareness, awareness-based meditation. So 30 minutes, you all can actually develop it, stabilize it, so that you become different. So what I want you to understand is, the key understanding is the four support. Do you still need this? Don't need it. Can rub off. So the four support, remember, first, relax. Okay? Relax is most important. You may think you understand the word relax, but you have taken already, the shot taken already. But you may not know that you still don't understand how to do it. The relaxation is not just relax. Because when you understand, you have to listen attentively to what it means and when to relax. So the first thing I always remind you of is to relax into every mind state that arises. Can remember that? Means the mental hindrance like qi wei go through is the same. It's also the mind state that is with the mental hindrance, the duality, the like, dislike, the aversion or what. Whatever arises, relax into it. Means it can be pain, it can be sleepiness, love and torpor, or it can be an aversion, a dislike, which actually camouflages itself. Because it is your habitual tendency to react to something painful, unpleasant, that you doesn't like because you think this is not meditation. Like the mind that is sleepy or drowsiness. Yeah. So when you confront all this, normal people who don't understand, they will have this thought which is completely wrong. This is not meditation. This is mental hindrance. What am I doing? So they fight it. They try to resist it. Not knowing that the mundane mind that do this is creating more and more confusion and mental hindrance. And it will hinder you from entering the meditative state. So the first thing you have to do is to accept whatever arises. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. Means the causes and conditions has already conditioned this mind state to arise. So what must you do? Acceptance. Acceptance means be at peace with it, understand? To do that, you need to relax into it, understand? Don't fight it. Relax into it. Then the second support is what? Maintain awareness. I better write it down, huh? Some people who are new. So four support. Awareness-based meditation. So first one is relax, body and mind. Then relax into every mind state that arises. The first support is very important. You can do this well. Your body and mind will be in a state of complete relax, naturally at ease. When it's completely relaxed, naturally at ease, there is no thought, no resistance, nothing. Then you are in sati. Understand? The deeper you can relax into it, your body is like softer and softer, it's like cotton. No resistance, no stress, no tension. Nothing disturbing you. Then your mind also completely in a state of tranquility and stillness. No issue at all. Completely at ease. Relax. You can do that. The next support will arise by itself. Maintain awareness. Oh. Air. Maintain awareness. So maintaining awareness is very important. Like I say, sati is awareness before the known. Means you don't want to know. Whatever arises at your sense door, like vibration or whatever, aware, finish. Don't continue. Don't go and react to what you hear, what you see, what you sense, and what you experience. Or whatever thought that comes, do not stir your mind and do all those funny things. If you don't try to know, don't try to do, you can maintain awareness. So to do this, you must develop the understanding. Don't try to know. Don't try to do. Why? Who knows? Who do? The thought, yes. So this one is always by the thought. When your thought is active, what happens? You are no longer aware. That's why don't try to know, don't try to do, means the thought is not meditating, not doing anything, not trying to perceive or know anything. Like when you are in a formal meditation. I remember one of the Kayamita also told me today, I forgot who, I don't know whether it's Benglim or not. He said, when he go for retreat, he felt so miserable inside there. You go to meditate, not to develop the suffering. But why are you miserable there and don't know what is going on? And a lot of people, when they go into retreat, they hear this word, noble silence, cannot move. But also they're not part. Become like very tense and don't know what to do. So that is suffering. You're supposed to relax and have a very serene and tranquil meditative experience. Instead, you're ending up torturing yourself. Then why you go for meditation? And a lot of people use the joke, damn stupid, come here to become so miserable. One meal a day, this one cannot, that one cannot, keep precept, must follow a lot of things. Then at home, I want to sleep, I sleep. I want to have a coffee, I have a coffee. I want to see football, I see football. So this type of thought will be the habitual thinking that will come because you want to justify why you must not be here. These are people without faith, without understanding. But sometimes the people with faith and lack of understanding become worse. You know why? They have faith, so they believe. They torture themselves more and more, more and more. Because they believe, one day if I continue to know or do, I will become enlightened. And that one day can be very long. So meditation needs to be done with understanding is because without understanding, you end up torturing yourself and doing all those thought-based meditation, which is non-beneficial, won't bring about the awareness-based transformation that you need. So hopefully with this, you start to understand. So maintain awareness means what? Whatever arises through your senses, you're as a human being. How do you know things? How do you interact with the world? Through your senses, correct? Without senses, you cannot have light. You cannot become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, if you think. And without this sixth sense, you are as good as that vegetable. Yeah. No knowing, nothing. Yeah. Element. So to maintain awareness is not to create thinking, not to do, not to know. So aware, finish. But initially you are not trained, you cannot stop it. Normally you are so conditioned, the moment you're aware, you perceive already. You realize it. Then after you perceive what happened, your habitual reaction comes. Understand? Ayo, I meditate here. Why these people make so much noise? Especially renovated by, while they meditate, cock everywhere. And sometimes they go to so-called vipassana meditation, not supposed to make noise. Then suddenly, somebody cough or talk or make some noise. Wow, they tahan already. How can these people be so savage? All this is the movement of thought, creating the thinking. The moment you have the thought arising, how can you be aware? This awareness is a mindfulness. So mindfulness is sati. Sati is awareness before the knowing, before the doing. So don't try to know, don't try to do is what maintaining awareness is. Means whatever arises, finish. You understand why it's finished or not? Don't say the word finish. Or not. Means the awareness that is aware, don't continue the thinking. Understand? Or not? No more. Understand? Or not? Aware? No more. It's just like the swimming, mind swimming method. Relax, then aware. Means your forehead there, you relax into it, you aware. Means what? Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you aware. Understand? Or not? Then what you do? You must relax into it so that this tension, stress, or whatever, the lack of peace, is gone. So when you relax, every mind state that arises, it will bring about the true mind. When you can relax into it, because all this mind state arises through one, dependent originating, understand? When you have stress, when you are unhappy, then the mental hindrance are there. They arise. So in order to cease it, you must not fight it, understand? You must relax into it. Relax means what? Don't resist, don't fight, don't do anything. Be with it. Like I always told Kok Lun, be with it means your awareness, relax into it. Means relax, aware. Aware, relax. Both also same. When you become skillful, these two become one. Understand? Relaxation and awareness become one. Then after that, no need to do anything. We are the doing, like you know, is always the thought. So the third support is stabilize this awareness. How do you stabilize it? Don't do anything. Continue to let it be. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Until that awareness become a part of you. When you do that, you don't arise the thinking. Understand? Means you are like the mind sweeping method, deconditioning your mind from the heedless thinking. Because you feel and relax. Feel and relax. Feeling is a neutral state. Pure feeling before it become mind state, understand? Or? Like light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. But these are duality that move from pure feeling. That's why the enlightened being, the Arahant, their feeling are pure aggregate, pure feeling, no duality, understand? Or? How can they maintain that state? It's not because they try to be in that state. You call it equanimity. Understand? Means no like, no dislike. Equanimity. Equanimous mind. That one arises through wisdom. Without wisdom, that final enlightenment factor, which is equanimity, cannot arise. Well, that equanimity is born of wisdom. Not born of a conditioned state of a mind in jhana or concentration. The fourth jhana in concentration, also equanimity as one of the mind state. But that type of equanimity is not an enlightenment factor. Understand that. So when you understand all this, then you can stabilize it by just continuing to relax, maintain awareness. Until the mind, after a while, suddenly become very quiet. Because when you are able to do all this, you develop more awareness than the old habitual thinking. Understand? When you cease to think, this one becomes a new normal. Understand? Your way of meditation, your way of understanding things. This one will develop into a stable awareness within. When this one stabilizes, your mind will enter sati. Then when your mind enters a deep, your awareness nature stabilizes, and you become more and more sensitive, more and more aware. Then you start to see things that you normally don't see. Why? Because now there is no more thought to cloud your nature, your awareness nature. Last time you think a lot, preoccupied with the thinking, lost in thought. You can only do one thing at a time. If you are heedless, lost in thought, preoccupied with your thinking, how can you be aware of what is happening in the moment? How can you be sensitive to understand what is going on in you, to observe and all those things? So this is the reason why a lot of people cannot do it. So if they cannot do it, what happens? They think a lot. So in order to stop the thinking, they come up with object of meditation, method and technique, to focus, to concentrate, to do repetitive training, so that this mind doesn't wander off, understand or not, become healed. But there's a conditioned state. It's like a child, very naughty. What you do? Punish him, lock him up, don't let him go out. You think by doing that, you are training him? Once you're not around, he become wild, understand or not. So the thought is the same. You cannot suppress the thought. You cannot control the thought. If you do all those energy field, thought-based, they call one-pointedness or absorption and other things, you end up controlling the thought. And that thought initially may give you the peace because you force it into one-pointedness. Like the child, you force it not to go out. Then you say, okay, now I am safe. This child will give, don't give me any more problem. He cannot go out anymore. Then you think this is the right way. But as you know, the child never learns. When you're not around, they become wild. They need to develop understanding. They need to make mistakes. They need to learn from life. For you, also same. Try this. You got nothing to lose. Experience it. If it works, you become totally different. The other way to understand is when you go through what Beng Lim go through last time, miserable, sitting there, like restless, sleepy, pain, soft and top, all this thing. I teach you one very good, I won't call it technique, a very good way to make you a lot better. Just forget about meditation. Just mindfully get out and go for a quiet walk. Do you realize you go out for a quiet walk, your mind settles down so fast where you don't do anything. You just be with nature in a relaxed, peaceful manner. Walk peacefully within an environment which is very conducive, like the temple environment, tranquil environment. The nature's energy, everything is very conducive. So you relax and just walk. You feel so much better. Rather than sitting there, don't know what are you doing, torturing yourself and becoming miserable. True or not? So awareness-based meditation is the same. When you do it correctly, when you understand, you become beautiful. Meditation is not something that you do to make yourself miserable. It's to let you understand that your natural mind is your true mind before the stirring, before the thinking, before the arising of thought. That is your true mind, your silent mind. You're supposed to realize that. Is that so difficult? That's why relax and don't do anything. My last guy say, relax, enjoy. You agree with him? Relax, enjoy. Which is true, understand? Well, when you relax and maintain awareness, actually you enjoy. Because peaceful, tranquil, still, don't do anything. You understand? Okay, now meditate. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And always remember, once you have developed it, it will start to build up. But to develop the ability to make it continue to arise within your daily life is very important. So what you have to do is, the retreat condition is the best. After you have developed some form of tranquility, stillness, means the inner awareness, the mindfulness, the inner silence. What you should do is continue to develop this mindfulness in the midst of life. Whatever you do, aware. Like after the alarm trigger off. Don't be in a haste to come out of the meditation. Aware. Aware of what? Your posture. Go back to Kaya Nupasana. Because the form of meditation is to stabilize the awareness within. And after that, when you want to come out of it, you have to go back to awareness of your bodily activity and movement, which is Kaya Nupasana. Then from there, once you develop the ability to be aware of your posture, then silence your mind and find out why you move and how you move. Is it because of habit, or your awareness is aware of the thing that trigger off that movement? You can find out. Don't believe what people tell you, everything needs mental intention. No. Of course, the mental intention plays a role, but doesn't mean that everything is mental intention. Like when you lie down, let's say you haven't gone to the toilet for a while, what happens is your bladder build up. That tactile sensation, that building up, actually conditions you to want to go to toilet. It's not a mental intention. It's your senses that trigger that thing. So don't believe what people tell you unless you can find out in your awareness-based meditation. So this city will make you different. You don't have to believe anything, anybody. Like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is ehi paseko, stand up to investigation. You can investigate in it. Then you will come to know you have control over your body. With whether itchy or whatever sensation, you want to scratch, you can scratch. But if you don't want, also you can. You want to scratch, also you will move your hand mindfully, you will do it. Then when you are able to train yourself more and more with the awareness, then you decide. Sometimes the bladder, you feel the tactile sensation, you want to go, but no hurry. Because you are still aware, mindful, then you can still develop the understanding. You can slowly move out from there. Then like the Buddha said, turning, stretching, moving, and how you come out of the lying down posture or sitting meditation, you're fully aware, understand? You have to do it until that kaya is a part of you, until everything you do in the midst of life, the awareness and that kaya movement become one. In specific phenomenal awareness, like the Buddha said, standing aware, bending, stretching, turning, aware, blinking of the eye, aware. All this minute movement within your kaya, you must have awareness. Initially, is the awareness is from the heart. But later on, the awareness and the phenomena become one. We call it specific phenomenal awareness. Develop it. Okay? Then when you come up. When you relax and listen, you become different again. You're no longer like last time with the thought, with the conditioning, trying to listen. That one is thought-based listening, trying to get knowledge, understand, trying to remember what I say, trying to understand what is being said. Yeah. It's not to say you cannot listen to develop understanding. You can, but you must know how to listen with the silent mind, with the awareness. Not from the brain here. Well, most of you, before you train yourself, before you have the awareness, the stability of mindfulness, you always put your attention at your brain. You don't believe me? You check. That everything is from the brain. You act according to memory. You act according to your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, your habitual tendency. But when you stay here at your heart, the awareness space, you don't do that anymore. You maintain awareness. Then the awareness, because there is no thought to distract you, the awareness become one with the phenomena. Whatever you do, your seeing is specific phenomenal awareness in city. Your hearing is specific phenomenal hearing in city. Your smell also same. Your taste also same. Then everything that you do, like all your movement activity, is in city. And that is how your mind enters city. And you have to train that, develop it until it is your new way of living, of doing things. Then this one can become a part of you. Then when you have this stabilized and developed, this is what the Buddha meant by you become ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, means constantly meditating. Then only you are heedful in the midst of life. Okay? Can understand? Yeah. How many of you able to relax today? Can I? Let me? Yeah, Sadhu. Who else? Very good. Queenie also can. Who else can relax? Ah, good. Yoi. Anybody else? What about Casey? You cannot relax. Don't worry. Use the mic, don't I? No. At the back, got one mic. For the recording, Casey, don't mind. For the recording. You overeat. But never mind. What is important is, are you aware of what is going on? Why you cannot relax? Is it just because the thought tells you you eat too much, too full, and you cannot relax? Or are you really in the state of awareness finding out? These are two different things. The thought tell you one is that thinking, that conditioning, because you try to justify, you try to reason, you try to come up with answer. But when you are completely just relaxed and aware and find out, even you have the same problem, like you eat too much or what, then you will come to understand. Then later on, you not only cannot eat too much, you actually cannot allow that thing to happen. Because the awareness somehow has this ability. That's why I used to tell my wife and my daughter, nowadays I cannot eat. Unless I'm hungry and I need food. Otherwise, I hardly eat. Because I can sense my tummy capacity. Very little food. Already full. Then you cannot do a lot of things where you become sensitive. So that is after you have mindfulness, awareness. Before that, you are with the thought. But this is just the beginning. That's why first time you are doing it, not so easy to develop the understanding and to settle down. Don't worry. Next time, reflect on what I tell you. Relax into it, maintain awareness, and find out. Don't allow the thought to tell you anything. Don't go and believe your thought. Where your thought is all memory, knowledge. And this one will keep on telling you things. Where this one is already, they call it the memory bank. And memory bank is what you have accumulated as life, learning, or experiences. All of your knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. A knowledgeable person can be intelligent, cunning, shrewd. All these are possible. But they don't have wisdom. You don't believe, you find out yourself. Your wisdom is an understanding. Not to entangle yourself and get into trouble. Whereas knowledge, it's different. Knowledge acts in a different manner. Well, when you have knowledge, you think you know. You think you are right. Then knowledge ends up arguing, trying to be right. The ego is still there. The mundane mind, the egoic mind, is like strengthened. Whereas the one with wisdom, he understands all this and it does not go after all this anymore. It is in a state of relaxed inner awareness that it can accord and flow, that it can see things as they are, it can accept the reality of the moment, that it will know how to act. Act with what? Wisdom, not memory. Means the Dhamma way. He will apply Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. No more of those heedless reaction and stirring of mind. The mind is seldom or hardly agitated. That is wisdom. Knowledge cannot. Knowledge, like you're very good, you're very intelligent, very smart, you have a lot of knowledge, and you think this is understanding. No. That's why knowledge binds, the Buddha said. Knowledge can create attachment. Can create conflict, argument, misunderstanding. Because with knowledge, you tend to develop the ego to be right, understand not? To be more superior, better, and all this. So meditation, awareness phase, is to allow you to have the awareness to see yourself in action, in life. Then when you see yourself in action like that, you come to know this form of mind. Before you know the Dhamma, before you have the wisdom and the understanding, you act according to memory. And what is memory? Actually, memory, you already have the mindfulness and the awareness is full of negative mind state. I call it rubbish. Rubbish because you accumulate all of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, your like and dislike. And all of the whatever, even childhood phobia or whatever, all these are accumulated. Then what you do, how you cheat people and how people cheat you, bully you, become aggressive towards you. You accumulate them as fear, phobia, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. So all these are very negative memory, negative tendency. The Buddha called them wrong thought, born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you act according to your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, you are not acting at all. These are all wrong thoughts, evil mind state. Then before you have the Dhamma, you are egoic. Sakayaditi is there, egoic. So the egoic mind always has selfishness, has craving, desire. Grasping, clinging, attachment. So you act according to all these mind states, which are not wisdom or understanding, then you entangle yourself in life, because karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So all this negativity or mind state that spring off from your memory, accumulated memory, good or bad or whatever, they are still within the field of thought, having duality. And before you have the Dhamma wisdom, means before you are enlightened, this thought process is always egoic. It cannot be a pure thought. That's why the fifth Vidya call it tinted merit. Don't go after tinted merit. Do good according to what? Your views, your opinion, your belief system. You think that it's good. But you never ask, good according to who? Good according to you. But it's not nature's good. Nature's good is the one that has the Dhamma, means no negativity. Where you are incapable of negativity, you are automatically good. Understand? That's why the Buddha's advice is avoid all evil. You can avoid all evil, you cannot do evil. All evil has been avoided. So the absence of evil is good. Not the other way around. Understand? Not good according to the individual. Good according to me, to you. No meaning. This is our individual perception of good. Our belief system. Our conditioning. But when it is something you do in accordance with nature's law, then the manifestation will be in accordance with nature's law. Good or bad, not defined by us, by nature. Because this nature's law that governs life and existence, the Pancha Niyama, governs everything. Like we used to say, don't try to do good. The trying is by the thought which is egoic. And the egoic mind cannot do good. Understand? So always develop the training to avoid evil. That's why Krishnamurti also say the absence of evil is good. The Buddha say avoid all evil. Sabba papasa akarana. Same meaning. How to avoid all evil? Develop mindfulness to be mindful, to be aware, to be heedful. Then the Buddha say, I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, misappropriating, sexual misconduct, all those things. How you train your mind to do this? You must have mindfulness to be aware. Aware of what is going on. How anger arises. How greed arises. How selfishness arises. How it conditions you into negativity, like to kill and to harm through your evil roots of selfishness, anger, hatred. So all this, when you start to see, then you start to inquire and reflect. As a living being, my life, I hold a key to my own life destiny. If I don't have this understanding, if I act negatively with the delusion and the evil, I will fall. I will develop karmic negativity. Then I will be entangled. Then my life, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, will be the outcome. And in the teaching, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the Buddha said it very clearly. He said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is she. Where mind arises, all things arise. Both verse 1 and 2 say, if you know this, he said, if you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what will happen to you? Suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follow the ox of the car. You don't have to believe the Buddha. You go and find out. If you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind with the evil roots, means you don't train yourself to be mindful, to be aware, and you don't train yourself to understand what constitutes evil, Then how come it conditions negativity of karma, evil deeds that brings about evil effect? Then how it conditions the individual suffering? So all this is very clear. Then the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 2, he say the same thing. Mind is a foreigner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arise, all things arise. Therefore, take care of mind. So he said, if you were to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be heedful, then you act with the Dhamma understanding, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is the teaching, Anasana. Without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot undertake the training rule to be aware and to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. So the teaching, when you understand, become different. It's no more on knowledge. It's something that you understand, you cannot act according to memory anymore. Can you all follow? This part is not easy to understand because since birth until now, most of you without the Dhamma understanding, before you awaken, your only instrument to act is your thought, and it's always at the memory. You don't believe me, you check. You are always up here. And you know, my last guide said, when you are here, before you become enlightened, that is hell. You are in hell, creating all the heedless thinking, the evil roots and everything. You may have some form of goodness or wholesomeness, but these are tinted merit, not pure merit. Pure merit means free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So maybe through your knowledge, you have Dhamma knowledge, hey, you say, I must keep my precept. I cannot cheat, I cannot kill. Okay. But there is knowledge, understand? You don't see it in the meditation, in the awareness. You didn't observe the nature's law of karma, how it hit back and how it conditioned living being to suffer. So based on knowledge, you act. Or people say, donate, be generous. Meritorious. No denial. Yes, meritorious. But what is your mindset? The ego is still there, you understand? No? That's why it's called tinted merit. It's merit. But with sakayaditi, you understand? No? You do good because people say so from you. Yeah. Then you use your intelligence, your knowledge, your thought, and act. And, so you act not according to wisdom. You act because you say, this will benefit me. You understand? Yeah, I receive good merits, understand? That I receive good merit is like the emperor at that time. When Bodhidharma was there, he said he donated the temple, the monk, the translation, everything. He said, how much merit have I developed? He expect Bodhidharma to say, oh, okay, or emperor, you have developed a lot of merit. You know, Bodhidharma replied, zero. The emperor was so unhappy, but he cannot say out because Bodhidharma was a patriot, a very wise being. You know why he say that? Well, later on, he checked with another monk who understand. He said, yeah, he is right. Well, to him, as an enlightened being, what is true merit, pure merit? It's the absence of three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You do all this thinking that you will receive a lot of merit, means what? It's tinted because the ego is there. You think you do, this merit accrue to you. That sakayaditi, that self, actually make the merit less wholesome. That's why they call it tinted. Tinted with the ego inside there. So tinted merit will always be there when you are not enlightened. But when you awaken, become enlightened, your merit is pure merit. Then this brings me to one point that I want you to understand. If you do awareness-based meditation, do you know if you can even stabilize it and have one moment of pure awareness without thought? That is a pure mind, a pure thought without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And that pure consciousness and thought, it is way beyond all of your tinted merits that you have done maybe for hundreds and hundreds of lives. Cannot compare to one pure thought of a cultivator. Do you understand? That's why, not to say merits are not important, but as long as it's tinted merit, you have to do a lot of anasana. Whereas the one that cultivate and meditate awareness, because he can have a moment of pure thought. That moment of pure thought is so rare, understand? And the merit is, the Buddha called it limitless. So all this understanding will lead you to the point that you must develop the faith to cultivate this awareness within. That's why do it. Even if you can have it for a moment, a glimpse of it is good enough. Need not go to cessation. But that one moment of pure thought without any what they call evil roots inside there. Those moments are very rare. Then cultivator of the way they have stabilized is throughout the day, they are in that pure state of mind, the true mind, the pure nature within. Just imagine. That's why to them, they are not really very, very interested in the normal type of worldly, merits. They were not like purposely want to donate, want to offer or what. If there is no condition, they don't have to do all those things anymore. Understand? But when there is condition, they still manifest, they still make offering, they still rejoice, they still help people. That is what the understanding is. So when you truly understand, what you do without understanding and with understanding is world apart, totally different. Okay? So hopefully, it can help not only Casey, all the rest. Yeah? Okay, now we continue. Right? Heart Sutta, start. Chapter 1. We're recording. Need to start recording.
It's recording.
Oh, it was recording. Okay. Okay. Then we get Tammy to help us read.
Page 5, chapter 1. First Heart Sutta class, meditation class by Brother Teo Kien Kun at Wubing Jinse, 12 February 2012, 3 to 6 p.m. Short notes taken during the talk for sharing. Part 1, Introduction. 1.1, Definition. Paramita, Sanskrit crossover. In Mahayana Buddhism, paramita means a perfection or virtuous quality practiced by a bodhisattva in the course of his spiritual cultivation. Prajna in Sanskrit or Panya in Pali means wisdom. 1.2, the heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five khandhas or aggregates of form and mind and saw that they are all empty. And he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristics. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is no form, feeling, connection, formation, or consciousness, nor eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind, no sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch, or dhamma, no feel of the eyes, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorant or ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age and death, or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulating, no extinction, no way, and no understanding, and no attaining. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva through reliance on Prajnaparamita is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dreams thinking far behind, ultimately Nirvana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attained Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi through reliance on Prajnaparamita. Therefore, know that Prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequaled mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra is Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate para gate para sam gate bodhi swaha.
Okay, thank you. So this is the actual Heart Sutta English translation. Yeah? The Mandarin one, if you know Mandarin, is more meaningful. Yeah? But if you really meditate and penetrate, the English translation also good enough. Yeah? This one is by far the more accurate one. But this one is from Master Xuan Hua, yeah? The city of 10,000 Buddha, actually. He is supposed to be one of the patriarchs from the Mahayana tradition. After Yun Lao He Sang, the monk that lived until 120 years old, the legendary master of China, he was the one that actually built up Buddhism, Mahayana, in China. And he actually coordinated all the Mahayana tradition, including the Tibetan tradition, into one tradition in China, so that they are all represented. Yeah. So Xuan Hua is also my refuge teacher. My whole family took refuge under Master Xuan Hua. Yeah. I think in the year 1980 something. Yeah. My nature do have a lot of affinity with Xuan Hua. Every time he come to Malaysia, that time, the first two times I was still a university student, I met him. Yeah. And because of that affinity, I can understand his teaching. Although an English educator, he speak the traditional China type of Mandarin. My wife is a Mandarin teacher, school teacher, also find it difficult to understand it. But because he speaks the Dhamma, very strange, I understand what he say. That's why I went and record all his talk, I listen. Then I realized this one is different, beautiful. And he had the understanding. That's why I decided to take refuge, and my whole family took refuge. And that was many, many years ago. And because of that, I managed to get all of his English translation from the United States, where my brother happened to be an electrical engineer. He was posted there to by the company to attend, I think they call it a certain period of training or whatever. And I said, oh, you are going there. He said, yeah, California. I said, you go there and help me do one thing. Buy whatever English translation you have. So he bought all of them and shipped it back to me. Cost me $1,000 over USD, you know, not ringgit. That time, the Surangama Sutta not completely translated yet. Not completely translated yet. Then the Surangama Sutta, very funny. The first copy that was translated, volume one. I was working in KL actually, in one of the universities. Then this salesman come and want to market to me the tennis court surface that time. It was very new, very beautiful tennis court. Then he very patient though. Well, I got instruction to my secretary. Salesmen don't let them see me. And my secretary also feel funny. You know, he come and talk to me. Say, Mr. Teo, this person is very patient. No, he came 7 times. No, he just plead to me to see you. Then my secretary asked me, will you see him? Huh? I say, got such person, 7 times, so patient. I say, okay, okay, I see him. The moment he came in, a young chap, a young guy, but the hair, like Jayanta, like that. Very Jayanta. Oh, resting, okay. Shave. Then I saw him. I said, okay, I heard you got something to promote. Oh, market to me, I think. He said, yeah, Mr. Teo. Then he saw me with the yellow string. That time, 1989, I already had the Dhamma, no? I already understand. No? I connected already. But I try not to like create unnecessary comic for people who don't know me to say the wrong thing and hit by the comic. So I purposely wear the yellow string. Where Visak day you go to temple, Brickfield, they give you the yellow string. So I purposely wear that. Hey, he was so observant. No? He said, hey, you are Buddhist? I say, yeah. I say, how you know? He said, I saw your string. Oh, I say, yes, I do. Then you know what he said? Huh? I will give you one book. And I thought, I don't know what the book is. I said, okay, good. Immediately the next morning, he brought the book, photostat copy. First volume of Surangama Sutta. Then I look at him, I said, how do you get this book? I said, Master Shen Huang was my refuge teacher. I've been looking for him for so long. I said, ever since he came to NU, then he left, then I waiting for him to come. He said, for your information, I am the kapia of Master Shen Huang. Got such thing. He take care of Master Shen Huang for so many years. And he want to become monk. But the father say cannot. He is the only son. And the father asked him to come back. That's why he become the salesman to market the father's product. And he came and see me. The moment I saw that book, I tell you, very funny. I flick over and read the first English translation. I can understand what is written there. And I told my brother who happened to go on, I said, you go and buy all the translation, whatever, go and buy. That's how it happened. Then all the other translated book came. Yeah. Then he also came after that. Yeah. In my office, one Christian lady, he was a staff of ours, but doing something else. He one day came into my office. He talked to me. He said, Mr. Teo, you don't mind. I got something to share with you. I said, sure, sure, sure. I know she is a Christian, Doreen. Then she said, maybe this will interest you. You know what he passed to me, you know? The delegation of Master Shen Hua and his disciple coming over to Malaysia again to visit us. I said, you are a Christian, isn't it? He said, I saw you every Friday. You meditate inside there. You lock your room. Then exactly 2:45, you're on your light. And early morning, I observe, you come in, you lock your room, you're off the light, you meditate. Then exactly 8:30, you open the door, your secretary go in. Oh, I say, got such people observing me. Yeah. That's why I say, meant to be will be. When the end is there, all these things happen. So for Master Shen Hua, I was able to understand his teaching. That I like his English translation. Like I said, this is one of the most accurate ones. Understand? A lot of English translations, they are not accurate. So what happened was, when I was invited over to teach this, I asked them to get hold of this book, then I share from this book. But what is important is not only what Shen Hua share. This book want to come out, meant to be. Actually, the short note, no reason for that Sister Lee to write on. But somehow she write on. And I remember the first few short notes, because I have the understanding, I have the Dhamma, all the notes he take, he cannot understand. He cannot understand what I share, what I write. But from the few points that he wrote on the short note, I can recollect what I say. Well, I know what I say. Then I like edit it, improve on it. The whole thing revamped. Then I started to share all this. That's why it became a book. Yeah. But after 1 month, she picked up. She become better. She become better. As the 15 month is up, the later part one all very good. The short notes are all very good. Yeah, she learned. That's why it's like meant to be. Then as we go through, you will come to know there are a lot of questions that were asked during this Heart Sutta sharing. And they are very beautiful questions. Some people even point blank ask me, why waste time on Master Shen Hua's biography and all those things? Why would teachers the five ingredients of form and mind and all those things? They cannot understand. Like what I mentioned in the introduction, this Heart Sutta is meant to teach the English speaking Theravada tradition type of Dhamma practitioner. Now, Theravada, they are mostly in English educated, understand? And to them, most of them don't believe Mahayana teaching. They think it's very different. But when I share the Heart Sutta, I told them no different. From Theravada teaching, what the Buddha teach under Theravada, you can use that understanding or wisdom to understand Mahayana teaching. And both appear different, but exactly matching. At first, they don't understand, they don't believe. But as I share, you will understand. So, my purpose is to bring about the causes and conditions for all this division within the Buddhist community to come back into one and a center. Because that's why if you observe my puja, I start with Mahayana, then I continue with Theravada. You realize? Because they are all things related. Except Theravada is for the sainthood way to develop enlightenment in the here and now to become Aryas. That is the priority. That is the message for Theravada. But those who have affinity with the Bodhisattva way, they will move on to Mahayana. Yeah. And I have one teacher, Ajayantra. Although he Theravada tradition, Thai tradition, but he believed in Kuan Yin. He had faith in Kuan Yin, and he understands the Mahayana Sutta. That's why I have affinity with him, and I can understand what he shared. And he loved nature. He always said, nature is our greatest teacher. Life is our greatest teacher. Nature is our greatest teacher. Nature full of love, compassion. He always said, nature give and give. Nature never take. Yeah. And the meaning is very beautiful. Because he said, the air we breathe, the water we consume, they come from nature. Do you have to pay for the air you breathe? You don't have to. Yeah. The water also, you can harvest it all, treat it, and it's yours. But what did humanity give back to nature? All the pollution, all of the crazy thing that humanity do. You just imagine the industrial revolution, the all the various type of agricultural revolution, the amount of armament, the amount of radioactive thing that they introduce, the amount of waste, even garbage. The way we pollute our planet, I tell you, we are choking it. If we don't speed up innovation, technology to recycle and to overcome all this, that's why now they start to understand the danger of, they call it, climatic change. And there is another one. Climatic change, and another one is global warming. Yes, global warming. The global warming is so serious until now they realize forest fire disaster everywhere. And like the weather condition, the climatic condition has changed until we become Soviet. Then they come out with all the funny things, El Nino. So now what happened is, people are starting to pay attention the amount of pollution. That's why they go for green energy. They go for EV car. No more petroleum. They start to like give a target to phase out. All this is the result of what humanity is doing. So you compare nature and human. Who is more loving, more compassionate, more caring? It's very obvious, eh? The human beings are so selfish. That's why you see war everywhere. And war can be justified. How you justify war, I also don't know. And there is a lot of things that you see happening in the world. All these are part of Dhamma. Understand? The Pancha Niyama, the activity, the movement, and the causes and effects. So when you understand Dhamma, you understand all this. So what I want you to understand is those who have Dhamma understand all things. That's why if you are caring towards nature, then nature will bless you and protect you. If you destroy nature, nature will destroy you. You understand? Can you understand? Why? Because we are part of you and nature is one. You must harmonize. Understand? Instead, we're so selfish. Understand? We ever willing to pollute because of our selfishness to do all those funny things without the human consciousness. Nature recover, recuperate very fast. No? You realize that. But because of human consciousness, it created this distortion. You have your karmic consciousness. You have your whatever citta niyama, law of mind, mental consciousness. Then you have your what they call physical law, physics and other things, chemistry. Then you have your biological order, utu niyama, bija niyama. Together the Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. These are the five universal order, the Buddha said, that governs life and existence. So he coined the Pancha Niyamas. Niyamas are orders that governs life and existence. So scientists understand physical law of nature, the scientific law, biological order of nature. They break through these two, nature's law. That's why they progress and they become so advanced. But at the same time, the side effect, the byproduct is pollution. Understand? The more they know, the more they don't know. And the more they know, the more problem they create. You realize that? So it's just like in life, in existence, when you don't know the complete understanding to the Dhamma way, you only specialize in certain specific area. What you specialize in can actually create a lot of side effect or what they call negative effect on the environment and the totality of human consciousness. So having limited knowledge compared with wisdom and understanding are two worlds of a different type of understanding. Without Dhamma, without totality of understanding, you cannot reverse all this. And to reverse all this is not easy. Where the numbers of human beings on this planet that has the Dhamma and the understanding is so minute. The majority of it is thought-based, knowledge-based, technological, scientific, then religious, selfish, and all that. That's why the whole collective consciousness is now very complicated. Yeah. But don't worry. Yeah. Things is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Let things be. It will evolve. It will move. I like what Jay Krishnamurti said. For the world to change, the individual must change. You agree or not? Why? Because we are the collective consciousness of the world. The summation of all the living beings, not only human beings, become our planetary consciousness, the totality. If this totality don't change, the planet consciousness cannot change. That's why the individual must change. Means what? Like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. You have to cultivate yourself, realize yourself, and change from within. We are the Dhamma way, the wisdom way. And when you change, one by one, it will bring about the multiplier effect that will finally, when the critical mass is there, then our planet will become different again. We will recover again. So all this is part and parcel of what Dhamma is. Then what I want to share with you further is the word paramita. Paramita is perfection or virtue, a very virtuous quality. So when you cultivate like dana parami, generosity, we just cultivate in the Theravada tradition normal dana parami, to be generous, to be kind, yeah, to be courteous, and to have that generosity to help people, to benefit people, to share and do all those things that are useful, helpful. But when it comes to paramita, means the perfection of that parami or generosity, you know, to perfect it and to develop it is well over different, like you all know. Then this heart sutta is called the Prajna Paramita Sutta. As you all know, Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. So this sutta is about perfection of wisdom, you know. That's why the heart sutta is a very unique teaching. It not only cultivates the perfection of ordinary virtue, perfection of wisdom. That's why it's called Prajna Paramita. And here, After Tammy read to you, I would like to ask how many of you understand? Huh? Do you find it strange or not? Did you heard what she said or not? When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was cultivating the word they use practicing, the profound Prajna Paramita Sutta, he illuminated what? The five khandhas, the five aggregates of form and mind, and saw that they were all empty, and he crossed over beyond all suffering and difficulty. This is the first noble truth, final summary, Yadasana. The Buddha said, in short, it is due to living beings, sakayadity, self-delusion, that condition them to grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind that he called dukkha, suffering. Whereas Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, after he meditated, when he illuminated the five aggregate of form and mind, you know what is the word illuminated? You think he bring a light and illuminate it? Huh? What is that illumination? He developed the true mind and the sana, the awareness nature, the silent mind, and the insight into the five aggregate. That's why it's like illuminate. It's like inside, awaken to it. Then what happened? What did he found? Huh? What did he found? Ah, that they are all empty. Wu yun jie kong. You heard of this, huh? The five aggregate of form and mind are empty. That's why he crossed over and free. And so easy. I already explained to you just now. It's the physical body you make our only element, go the way of nature. How can it be you? That is impermanent, not a permanent and changing entity. Go the way of nature. Means, it's not what you think, not you, empty. And if it's empty, like I say, you come empty, you go empty. In between, you fight over emptiness, become miserable over emptiness. Understand? That's how the world gets into trouble, the conflict, the misunderstanding, the war, the suffering, the misery. So all these are profound understanding. That's why they cannot understand. They say, why you teach the five aggregate and all those things? And to them, a lot of them, Theravada tradition, they say, the five aggregate only mentioned, but never taught. Because they don't understand what the five aggregate is, the two aspects, they don't know. And with that, how can you comprehend the Heart Sutta? The Heart Sutta is the pinnacle of wisdom, perfection of wisdom. That's why it's profound Prajna Paramita. So how can you understand this when it is speaking from that enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind? And the Heart Sutta has the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. So it's impossible for a normal living being or cultivator of the way or the Theravada tradition to comprehend unless that cultivator of the way has his past, training, and understanding. Otherwise, not easy. Then immediately after that, what did Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say? He says, Sariputta, who is Sariputta? The foremost in wisdom under Sakyamuni Buddha, his chief disciple. He says, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are the other aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness. Here you must understand the five aggregate that Xuanhua used as a translation is different from Theravada tradition. Theravada tradition, feeling is the same. Feeling is Vedana. But when it comes to Sanya, they translate as perception. This Mahayana Master Xuanhua translation committee translate as cognition, which is the same. When you perceive, you cognize, understand? Then formation is mental formation. Actually, it's sankhara, mental activity, mental states, everything that your mind can do, including your planning, scheming, cunningness, whatever mind state, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your phobia, everything. That's why they say sankhara, there are 52. Then consciousness is the same. So actually, if you ask yourself, form does not differ from emptiness, and emptiness does not differ from form. Can you accept that? I mean, ask yourself honestly, can you accept this statement? Anybody want to try? Yeah, you try. Why you say yes, Queenie? No, the mic. Yeah, you try, Queenie. Yeah.
When you say form is emptiness, emptiness is form, there's nothing.
But the word, be more specific, the word is form does not differ from emptiness.
It's no different.
Why no different?
Because it's the same, I think.
When you say I think, means you don't know. You see, form is anything that is solid, isn't it? True or not? Anything that has element, solid. Then what is emptiness?
Emptiness, nothing.
Nothing. Then how can the two be the same? Understand? Because you are Buddhist. You say, yeah, Hasutta says so much. That's why it becomes knowledge. Where you all don't investigate. You don't go into it.
Form arises because of perception.
The perception of mind make it unreal. Understand? Because how do you know form? Through perception. And what is perception? It's just a mind aggregate. Understand? Mental. Yeah. This one is empty. Nothing. Understand? The knowing of it is through the mind, which is not solid, understand? That's why, in a way, form does not differ from emptiness. But this is not the correct explanation. The correct explanation is when you are mindful, aware, you go beyond what he said. You see, let me draw for you. No need to run. No need to run. Continue. You say, let's say you have a box. So this is form, isn't it? Correct or not? Before the form arrives, before this form arrives, what is it? It's just empty space there. Then you put in the form because you can perceive the form. You say this is form. But originally, it was what? The empty space there. So that's why the Heart Sutta says form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. And this is the real understanding. Then, the meditative understanding is, how do you know form? Again, it's by perception. Understand that? So what the Buddha did is, he told the monk, you remember? He said, look at the block cut. So the monk all said, yeah, Buddha. Okay. Then what did the Buddha say? Dismantle them all. Every part, take it down. Then he asked, where is the blocker? No more, isn't it? Gone, isn't it? Then assemble it back. Arise already. You don't just nod your head. What do you understand from there? No. No. You see, the blocker, they come about because of all the parts coming together, isn't it? That's why it's condition arising, you understand? No? You understand? No? When the parts are there, the condition are there, it arises. Why? Because you give it a name, a concept, and it performs a function. Then it becomes a blocker, understand? No? Then how do you know that blocker? Externally, already the Buddha showed it to you that it's dependent originating, condition arising. No part, no condition, nothing arises. When part or condition, then it arises. So externally, it's not real, understand or not? It's how you perceive it. Because you assemble it, perform a function, you give it a name, a concept, it becomes like real, exists already, arise already. So externally already condition arising, dependent originating, not so real like your physical body, but you believe it's real. Because everybody by convention pull card, understand? Not? Now maybe car, greater, EV. Then the Buddha, when he teaches the mind, he said, how do you know it's a blocker? The knowing comes from where? Ah, sanya, you perceive it, isn't it? Like what Peng Lin said. Perception. Externally is condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating, not so real. But how do you know it's a blocker? Through your perception. And what is perception? A mental image. Huh? That is perception, huh? No, that is perception. It's not the I see. After I will prove you wrong. I alone doesn't see. No, the I alone never see. The dead man open the eye, don't see. You and I sleep, eye open, you don't see. Then you think the mind see. Huh? No, you think the mind see. No, no, no. No, no, no. Slowly. I prove you wrong already. I alone doesn't see. Then now what are you trying to tell me? Your mind see. Yeah. Means what? Means what? Like the blocker lah. Ayo, nothing to do with perception. Like the block kala, there must be causes and conditions for seeing consciousness to arise. Understand or not? The condition must be there. Your eye must be functioning. Understand or not? Then there must be a mind. Otherwise, the blind man don't have eye. Does he see? You say he cannot see. Are you sure you cannot see? Do you know one of the disciples of the Buddha, Divine Eye, Anuruddha, was blind and he can see the universe clearer than the mango you hold in your hand? Blind people cannot see. Consciousness can see, understand? Awareness can see. You are limited to your senses. Whatever your senses cannot understand, you say don't exist. Come to that later. So, externally, the blocker not so real. And how do you know it's a blocker? You perceive it through the mental. It's just an image. It's even more unreal, isn't it? True or not? If it's even more unreal, then why do you grasp onto it, cling onto it, and give meaning and fight over it? This shows to you the unreality of form and mind. External form, not only the block card. All external form that you perceive, this building, all of your seeing, conscious, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, they are not real, illusionary. Because they are dependent, originating, understand that condition arising, causes of images come and go inside here. How real can it be? Then why do you foolishly, deludedly, grasp and cling and give meaning? Ask yourself. That's why form does not differ from that emptiness, which is this one, very easy to understand. Well, originally it was empty nature, our nature. From there, all manifestation arise, consciousness form all arise. That's why it does not differ from what that created it. Understand? Then the external form, you come to know through perception, mental, mind, mundane mind. That thing that perceive is just an image, even more unreal, isn't it? Not tangible at all. At least that one is solid and tangible, like this table. Okay, I ask you, is it real? Is it empty? No, solid. Understand? This is reality. Understand? But when it comes to wisdom, it's how you understand it. The knowing of it is different from the reality. That's why the enlightened being, I remember in the Mahayana Sutta, the disciple was too eager to report to the master. He said, "Master, master, I already enlightened." So you know what the master said. He said, in Mandarin, "Fang pi," means you are boasting. He said, "Rubbish." Then the disciple, very angry, came over, rushed over. "How can you say that? I'm your disciple. I have realized a lot of things. I have understood a lot of things. And you say, what I tell you, I'm enlightened, is rubbish." Then the teacher said, "Okay, you're enlightened? Sure? Want to confirm or not?" The disciple said, "Sure." He pointed to the table. What is that? The moment he said table, you know what happened. What happened? The master whacked him. He said, "You say you're enlightened." He said, "How can you hit me so hard? This is pain." He said, "This is a reality. That one I point is not a reality. And you say table." You remember the Surangama Sutta? What does it say? Perception of form is consciousness, your mundane mind create one. Whereas its non-perception is, when you don't perceive means what? Aware, understand? When you are aware, you see things as they are. No word, nothing. That's like Kan San, Pu Su San, understand? No? When you perceive, there is consciousness. There is the mundane mind. There is not the true mind. There is not reality. That's why Mahayana is not easy to grasp, but it's no different from Theravada understanding. But you also conditioned by the knowledge that you have of Theravada teaching until you can understand all these basic Dhamma. Can follow? So now, Heart Sutta, correct or not? Form does not differ from emptiness, and the emptiness does not differ from the form. Why? Because form itself is actually empty. Like the second aspect I explained to you. That's why you have to learn to see form. The unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. To realize its characteristics of impermanent, empty, unreal. Then once you see beyond form, what do you see? like as a human being. If you perceive my external form, what you see, you will have a lot of problem. Well, your consciousness will define me as what? Brother Theo, male, Chinese, 70 years old, understand? All this create division, understand? Is this me? It's not me, because you look at the external form. Then you see I'm dressed like that, so simple, yeah? No title, no robe, nothing. Then he said, lay person, how can a lay person understand more than the monk who renounced and go full time? Very logical, yeah? Why you shake your head? Most people will say it's very logical. You got no title, nothing, you're just a lay person. Because they look at the form, understand? But you don't look at the form, you listen to me and develop the understanding of what I share. Then whether I wear what, not important. Truth is truth. It stands up to investigation. This is the understanding. Don't be colorable anymore, understand? So understanding all this is very important. Let's say, if you see beyond form, then no more this external physical form. Your problem gone is there. No need to argue about gender, male, female, prejudice, all gone. Old, young, gone. Chinese race, all gone. Understand now? Then your life becomes a lot more simpler, isn't it? Less entanglement, less confusion, less misunderstanding and argument. Then when I see beyond form, am I still different from you? Without the physical, no male, no female, no Chinese, no race. We are more similar, isn't it? But do you think we are similar? Well, the stupid mundane mind is still not the same. You have your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, your fear, worry, anxiety, your insecurity. All the rubbish is like that. That's why they still argue. They still go to war. They still hold on to their anger, their grudges. They still got the egoic mind, the selfishness, all this thing. So when you see form, you get trapped. When you see beyond form, you got less problem, but you are also trapped at the mind. That's why you have to see beyond form, beyond thought, beyond mind. Understand? When you see beyond the external form, the physical, and my mundane mind, what do you see? What do you see? When you see beyond my physical and my thinking, my thought process, what do you see? My true nature is there. The awareness nature is there. You have, I have, everybody have is there. Of course, the Buddha, they all describe him as the Buddha nature. Where is the Buddha? But that nature inside is no different from yours. The only difference is one thought of ignorance. Understand? 一念之差. What is the 一念之差? The one single thought of ignorance that started from the beginningless. That's why he said, impossible is to understand the beginning of thought. Yeah. So he advised the living, forget about all this. Yeah. The first thought of ignorance that conditioned living being to evolve until now, you cannot understand unless you are the Sammasambuddha. So all this is what you need to understand. Awareness is to develop the ability to see beyond the form, beyond the mundane mind, and see your own true nature. When you see your own true nature, this one got no words, no concept, no aggregates of mind, nothing. Then we are no longer different, isn't it? That's why we can become one, the oneness nature. And that is the unconditioned when you develop the wisdom and the form and mind sees. And this is what the Buddha is trying to teach you. Not all those knowledge that you read in all those funny books. We have a lot of Dhamma, you know, like, wow, full of Dhamma, Dhamma everywhere. You know, but not applicable to understanding life, to developing the wisdom, to transcend all this. If you are still trapped in form, based in the external phenomenal world of form and consciousness still have power over you, then you are trapped. Do you understand? You cannot break free. To break free, you have to see beyond form, beyond thought. Just like I already told you, you see form. Then you develop the mindfulness and the awareness to see the unreality of form. Like I told you, dependent originating, condition arising, not what you think. Then how do you know form? The image, mental image. That's why it's not real. That's why the unreality of form. Then when I can see form with my awareness, I can see the unreality of form because I saw the manifestation, then I can see beyond form. True or not? Means form has got no more power over me. Externally already not so real. How do you know? You perceive it through an image which is even more unreal. Then why do you hold on to it, cling on to it, and give meaning, and argue over it, and develop all the affliction over it? You understand? And this is only form, no? After that, you go into the mind, no? You also have to see mind, no? How to see mind? You need to be aware, understand? Otherwise, you cannot see mind. Then when you are aware, you can see the unreality of mind, just like this form is dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity, like your mind state, anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, they come and go. They are dependent originating, so unreal, not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. But then, when you see mind, the unreality of mind, then you can see beyond mind, understand? That mind got no more power over you. All the duality that it creates, all the nonsense that it tells you, understand? Your accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. Like last night I used to tell song, where is song? Reasoning. You try to analyze a situation. Why still like that? Why that person like that? Why I still cannot understand all this? Why I still stir my mind? All this come from what? The thought analyzing, understand? When your thought analyze, it cannot go beyond thought. That's why go to your nature, stabilize it, develop it, which he later on developed after the retreat. That's why he was able to understand all this, and there is so much joy. And many Kayamita now can understand all this. Okay? The sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the alarm already sound. So we have to end. Sorry. So I hope today you all develop more understanding. So Heart Sutta, I haven't really finished. So tomorrow we continue. Okay. We will do the closing puja. We will chant the our traditional one. The one from our chanting book, the normal chanting book. For those who already know, you can just chant with me. Those who need to see the chanting book, what page is it? We actually skip a bit. No. The closing puja, share merit transfer. We do that one first. We share merits first because it's already page 14, yeah. No need, it's a big deal. Yes. Page 15. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with all beings, but we don't follow this one entirely. We will skip a bit, especially when we come to Itawata Jamehi. We only chant the first section. Then after that, we go down to Idang Menya Tinang Hotu. But before that, you will have to chant the Akasata Chibumata. That one also chant the first one only. Okay. Let us rejoice with all the wholesomeness that we have developed thus far. And we will share this wholesomeness with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata Chibumata. Devanaga Mahitika Punyang Tang Anavoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Eta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabe Deva Anavodantu Sabha Sampati Siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Then we jump over to Patana. Next page, Patana. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame pala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu Yawa divana patia sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, before we break, we need to chant the Heart Sutta because we have started the Heart Sutta. So, Pavasri, you got the usual thing, on that song, right? Me and Ikumai. In B, you can also chant together. Then our chanting book at the back got Heart Sutta. And also we had other two sutta. Or you want to chant the Ta Pei Chou onward. Okay. Ta Pei Chou, then Heart Sutta. Then Karaniya, Maha Karaniya. Maha Karuna Dharani Sutta, all three, one time each. Okay. Those who know how to chant, you can chant together. The normal chanting book is page 19 onward. The retreat one is 61 onward. Yeah, Tapi Chosen. You want me to think for you or Pamasuri think? I think then you all start. Okay, let us recite together.
Namo Sisi Lito Ibo Eliye Polo Chedi
sư vô lai lên của Phật Nam mô Bổn Đại Thế Chín Sĩ Lý Nô Ha Phan Tô San Di Sa Phô A Tô Tô Su Phan A Sư Yên Sa Phô Sa Tô Nam Mô Phô Sa Tô Nam Mô Phô Chi Mô Pha Thơ Tông Tán Chư Pha Hoàng Pha Phô Lũ Sinh Lũ Chia Thi Chia Lũ Sinh Ý sĩ lý nô hân khu thị xa thua, xa thua xa thua mô hân mô hân. Mô sĩ mô sĩ lý thua dịp, trí lũ chia mong, tú lũ phá sơ dễ tì, mô hân phá sơ dễ tì. Thổ lại thổ lại tí lì lì, sớ khổ lại liền, sớ lại sớ lại, bố phân bố lại, bố tí lì xì xì, sớ lại sớ lại, ổn lại sớ khổ lại sớ lì, phá sổ tổn sớ khổ lại sớ lì.
Tu vi
不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色。受想行识亦复如是，舍利子，是诸法空相不生灭，不生灭，不增不减。是故空中无声无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无声声相为诸法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无名亦无无名。乃至无老死亦无老死性，无苦集灭道无智意，得离无所得故，三陀依般若波罗蜜多故，心无分爱我，我不要空虚。我一点到梦想究竟，涅槃三世住。我以般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故，知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是道明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，生死不虚。故说般若波罗蜜多咒，即说咒曰：揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
你拿吧。
大家厉害，我I need to show on the computer. I go to the old one, 24, right? Yeah, I can't find it on the computer. Was she a show that the reader feels that they don't try some?
Yeah. Okay. Turn to page 24 of the ordinary chanting book. We will chant the Maha Karuna Dharani Sutta.
Namo Rama Dhyaya Namo Jaya Sutta We chant Duhurasaya Tathagataya Arhate Samya Sambuddhaya Namo Sarvathagate Arhate Samya Sambuddhaya Namo Arya Lokiteya
Okay, good. Sadhu. So you may now pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end our today's birthday retreat. Thank you. After setting your cushion, you have to keep and move it to the side. Tomorrow, you can arrange it back. I also have to keep mine because Patan Supu will come early morning.
Sir,